When you meet someone and you start talking, the next question may be, or one of the questions may be, what are you? Well, I'm me. What church do you go to? And all of a sudden we start now discussing churches. Well, I'm Catholic. Oh, I see. I'm Protestant. Oh, okay. I'm Greek Orthodox. And then all of a sudden you come to the point to ask the question, which church belongs to God? Or what is the right church? Or how do we know what church I should go to? There are all kinds of expressions and names given. The family of God, the church, the body of Christ, the assembly of believers, and so many other names and words often try to describe but fail, often confuse people about the real meaning of the church. What is the church? The family of God is a human term trying to describe the spiritual family of God, the invisible, universal body of Christ. God has one family. All believers are children of God through Christ. And then the question comes, if God has one family, how come this group claims to be the church, the other group claims to be the church, and how come we always point the finger and say that church is wrong and our church is the right church? And what is it that makes the real church the real family of God? In Galatians 3:26 we read 26 to 28. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus speaking to those who told him that his mother and brothers were looking for him, he turned around and said to them, and this is very important, his response is very important to remember. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12:48. God is our Father. We all call him our Father. We are his children through Jesus Christ. We call ourselves the children of God. That makes us a family. That's what a family is all about. There's the family, the head of the family, and the children. And that makes a family. In Galatians 4, in verses 4 to 7, we read, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Jesus, when he was praying in John 17, he said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This is the family. The family of God is made up of all those who by faith obey God and follow Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Our the church, our church, any local church, is part of that body of Christ, the universal, invisible church. Dear brothers and sisters, because we have been saved through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now members of God's family, and because He has instructed us to follow His instructions, we must pay attention to His last words before He went back to His glory. Matthew 28. And teaching them, instructing His disciples, He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Apostle Paul says, as a member of the family of God, let us draw near to God, and then he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, and let us consider how we may spur one another to love and good deeds. The words "let us" speak of fellowship in the body of Christ. Fellowship in the body of Christ. Let us means that we all together as a family of believers get together and see how we can encourage each other, how we help and strengthen each other, how we sit down, and that's what we have been discussing this morning in the adult class, how we can laugh with our brother and sister, or how we can join this brother or sister in her time of suffering, or how we can sit down with this brother or sister or the family and weep with them while there is something terrible happening to them. And yet that does not mean we give up. That means we love this family. We love each other because we are members of that body of Christ. Yes, we call the church the body of Christ. Yes, we call ourselves members of the church. Yes, we call ourselves servants of God. Yes, we call ourselves born-again believers, washed in His blood and going to heaven. All this is good stuff if it really reflects the inner change that has taken place in our life. To be a family is very important. And yet there are families that are called dysfunctional families. There are families that are so tied together or knit together that people look and say, this family is really special family. And I believe very often the church is the picture of a family that is not working well, dysfunctional family. Because the church is not functioning as the body should be functioning. My eye doesn't say I'm the best because I can see people and I can enjoy everything. My mouth doesn't say, oh yeah, but I can speak. And there are other organs that no one talks about, and yet they are more important sometimes than the eye or the mouth. Dysfunctional family is something that turns people off. And the church, when it becomes dysfunctional or self-centered or a place where people get together and they sort of enjoy the company of each other, and yet they really don't care what's happening at home and what is happening in their hearts. In the past few days, I've been talking to people who are really suffering on the inside. Excuse me. They are hurting, and they don't know where to go, and they've been to churches in general. They've come here, and yet still they are hurting because they need someone to come and join them and co-suffer with them, if you wish. And carry part of the burden. When Jesus was carrying the cross, They ask someone to help him carry the cross. It's not because Jesus could not carry it. It was because I believe that was a lesson for us to learn that we should be carrying each other's cross or help carry each other's cross. I know this sounds very romantic or very one-track-minded Christianity, and yet that's exactly what Jesus did. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, the Bible says, for whosoever believes in Him, not to perish, but be saved, have eternal life. That's what the love of the Father is all about. Earthly fellowship to heavenly anticipation is the church. The church should be earthly fellowship to heavenly anticipation. The church is not a club, or should not be a club, just enjoying each other. And the church is not a place where we encourage each other and strengthen each other to have a good time together, or at least be able to go through life. But the church is a place in anticipation. We are anticipating, we're waiting for the moment that will be taken up either when Jesus comes or called home and have eternal life in the presence of God. That's what the church is in between life in general and in our union with Christ Jesus in heaven. It's the waiting place, if you wish. But we can enjoy this waiting place and enjoy each other's company, but also spread out the good news as a family that has the good news. We are drawn together in the same assurance. What does assurance mean? What a good word. It removes all doubts and eliminates uncertainty. The assurance of your salvation is very important. Because without the assurance of your salvation, you'll always be saying, as some people say, well, I don't know, God only knows. I hope I will make it to heaven. I hope God will forgive my sins. I hope my good deeds are more than the bad deeds. I hope God will not change His mind. And all kinds of things like that. But the assurance of salvation says, because He paid the price on the cross, and because His supernatural power in His blood, or supernatural power in the blood, has washed my sins away, and now He wants me to walk this journey, but follow Him. And know that God is holy, and His holiness demands that we be as holy as He is. Now, it doesn't mean that I can ever be as holy as God is, but that's the standard, His holiness. And I daily strive to reach that. I will never do it, and yet I am toward that. One day when He calls me home, I'll be in His holiness, and I will enjoy His presence. But for now, I, as a family of God, a member of the family of God, must encourage, strengthen, and help others. We are held together in the same hope, trusting and believing God and His promises based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Sad to say that many people don't even talk about the second coming, or sad to say that people don't think about death and appearing before the throne of God, or finding themselves in His presence, because that's so in the future, people think, and today is very important. But today is today, and tomorrow today will be yesterday, and everything is gone, and sooner or later every one of us will stand before the throne of God, and sooner or later God will play that videotape. It's not even tape anymore, it's the memory chip or whatever God uses up there to show us all these sermons, all these Bible studies we had, all the studies you had personally, all the conversations you had with other people. And he will remind you that you had so many chances to surrender your life completely and to live a happy and serene life. In Hebrews 9:28, we read, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." We must be anticipating his coming. We must wait for the moment that God is going to call us home, or else why are we in church? If we are Christians just for the fun of it, if we are only Christians because it feels good, we are Christians because that's the right thing to do, or the conscience, to satisfy the conscience, then we are miserable Christians, because, and I include myself there, because very often I forget, and we forget, that the main purpose of us following Christ is because he has prepared a place for every one of us. And as a family of believers, we are all united and waiting expectantly to go and meet him. We are working together toward love and good deeds. We read in verse 24, "Let us consider one another." Let us consider one another means that you are as important to me as I am important to me. I love you because God loved me. And if this is how we feel, then this family, or at least this local member of the family of believers or God, will function better. The sequence in 1 Corinthians 13 is faith, hope, and love. Love is considered of others, or considerate to others of others. Love's consideration provokes more love. Love's consideration provokes to good works. Love affects any family, any congregation. And I believe the problem that our Christian, in Christendom in general, is that we don't have that kind of love that says, he is as important as I am. We don't feel that the church is as important as my family is. And when I say the church, I mean the body of Christ. And the body of Christ will be not functional if the members do not fulfill their job or their place, or they're not useful in the body. For example, if you are a Christian, a member of a church, and if your church needs your help, then you have no choice but to use your gifts. If you are a deacon, an elder, a pastor, a teacher, you have no choice but to use those gifts for his glory. That's the duty of the member. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." John 13. Let us not give up meeting together, the Bible says. Let us not give up meeting together. Now, if I would say to my wife, "You know what, we've been married now for 48 years." Our daughters are older than 28. We've been married for 48 years now. Okay, you go and stay with your sisters, or go and stay with your sister, and I'll go and stay with my sister, and then it won't work, because we made a commitment to each other, and because most of the time, 99% of the time, we enjoy each other's company. We will stay together, and this is a family. The family, when you have a family, some of the choices, or most of the choices you made before you were married, are not there anymore. They may be there, but you can't take you can use that freedom. That's how it is with the Bible. And that's how it is with the family of God. We, as members of the family of God, we have made a commitment to Christ. We have made a commitment to the church. And I believe that is very sad when you go to a church and you see. The other day we heard that a church was closing down. The members and the deacons got together and they sent an email to the pastor and said, your services are no longer required and we're shutting down the church. And they shut down the church. Well, that's what happens when there is no unity in the church. That's what happens when Christ is not the head of the church. That's what happens when everyone looks for his or her entertainment or benefits or satisfaction. I believe a church should be a place like an oasis where people hungry and thirsty are dying of thirst and are looking someplace, and the church is the oasis where they go and find the living water. And not it's not a courthouse where a judge sits and judges everyone. A church is like a hospital. It has become actually a hospital very often, where only sick people would come with requests, and those who are not feeling sick, they won't even show up. And yet, those who need help, those who need spiritual guidance, are searching to find somewhere, and the healthy ones are not there to help them. Let us not give up meeting together. And again, you may say, well, I'm busy, or people may say, I'm busy, I have many commitments, I've got three cars that I have to pay for, I have a big house that my mortgage is due, and you know, very often we heard Jesus say, unless you are willing to give up everything and follow me, you have no place in my kingdom. And God does not say that you shouldn't have a house. God does not say you shouldn't have a car. But when all these things come before or are a hindrance to your spiritual walk, then you have to deal with them. We have to deal with them. It is very important for believers together for worship and fellowship. Fellowship is the unity and relationship of the believers in the body of Christ. Fellowship is the unity and relationship of the believers in the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to encourage and support each other. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, we read, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And you know what? There are more people today that are falling down spiritually, emotionally, even physically. And there's no one to help. No one who cares. No one who will pick up the phone and call and say, is there anything I can do? We find comfort when we gather together and share spiritual truths. Be a blessing to others and to be blessed. If you are a blessing to others, you are blessed. Every time you help someone, the joy and the peace and the rewards are always there. Many neglect gathering together for fellowship and prayer. What can we do to strengthen the family? The family functions best when we are or faithful to our commitment. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father, for being the head of this body, the universal church. Father in heaven, we come to you for guidance, for help. We need the Holy Spirit's touch. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us, strengthen us, mend our lives, and revive us. May we leave this building, Lord, this morning revived and filled with your joy, your presence may be reflected in our daily walk and in our spiritual journey. In your blessed name I pray, amen.